In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. These are excellent and profitable to men. Let our people learn to apply themselves to good deeds so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. These are the single, repeated admonition of St. Paul to Titus that we hear today in the epistle reading. And what I want to bring out is the meaning of why St. Paul asks, or rather, gives his apostolic command to the bishop that he placed there in Crete, Titus, to teach the people to apply themselves to good deeds. We read this epistle on every day that we commemorate the Holy Fathers of the Ecumenical Councils. Well, at least the first six of the Ecumenical Councils. There's a different one for the seventh. And so it's really curious that we have an epistle reading that is admonishing us, exhorting us to apply ourselves to almsgiving on a day where we're remembering fathers who defended doctrinal things, who defended who Christ is, who the Holy Trinity is. And it can get lost because of how the church has us pick up here at the admonition or the exhortation without the verses that precede it. Because the verses that precede verse 3:8 are ones that talk about the very ordination, the very moral order of the church, and who leads it as bishops and as presbyters and as deacons, the advice that Paul gives to Titus. These two things are deeply connected. So when we commemorate, as we are today, the fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council that defended the dogma that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, incarnate in humanity, fully God, fully man, this doctrine is what is the foundation of applying ourselves to those good deeds. Because the doctrine that they defended in the Fourth Ecumenical Council, and all of the fathers at each of the ecumenical councils, is the doctrine that defends the gift of salvation. Salvation is not simply a legal category, moving from one column of those in the books who are destined to hell and those who are now destined for heaven. That's not what we mean by salvation. Rather, the meaning is of Christ becoming man establishes a new reality for us and for the whole universe. Salvation is the experience and knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ our God, as a transformation of what it means to be human and what it means to know God as a human being. That's what the substance of salvation is. And if we don't know and can't fully believe and defend when doctrinal error comes about, when heresy comes about and threatens the belief that is the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ, that is fully God and fully man, that understanding of salvation is threatened. We can't, in other words, begin to experience that kind of salvation. And that doctrine, in turn, reveals to us what it means to follow Christ's commandments. It reveals God within us when we follow what He taught us to do. By following the commandments, we are changed at the level of who we are, not just what we do. St. Gregory Palamas says that there is only one remedy invented by the wisdom and grace of the only God and Savior Christ to make ourselves dead to sin through repentance. Having ourselves settled the debt imposed by the legal sentence, we shall then put on through virtue the new man in Christ. It doesn't stop at what I don't do, but who I become, the new man in Christ. Repentance means that. Repentance means that sin begins to die and I am united with his grace. And the law is fulfilled in him, every iota, every dot. And as we become more like him, we become the new man. In other words, you become a person filled with the character of God himself. You obtain virtue, a strong moral formation. You participate actively in spreading the good deeds of God. And Christ pulls us up from the depths of hate into his own divine character. Because that is who God is. And what he wants us to be with him. We have this beautiful synergy, a participation to work with him to become more like him and ever more I need to be. And when that happens, I become more of myself. So St. Paul, in the verses that we pick up here in the epistle to Titus, as he writes to this planted bishop in Crete, this is the conclusion of all of that. Titus was Paul's fellow traveler, a co-laborer in his missionary journeys. And when Paul leaves Crete, he leaves Titus there to carry on the ministry, the episcopal oversight of the church. And Paul writes this letter as instructions for how to continually guide the church, to shepherd its growth, not just in number, but into spiritual maturity, the kind of spiritual maturity that we've been talking about. So the moral order of the church applies, that is, us applying ourselves to the good deeds outwardly and inwardly, is reinforced by the hierarchical order and our doctrinal adherence. All three of these are inseparable. In other words, when Paul left Crete, he left a whole and complete church, a way of life, people to guide it, and a way to grow, to know Christ. The moral order is given in those first three chapters, chapters 1 through 3:11 in Titus. They are instructions stating the qualifications for one who is to be ordained, the need for presbyters, that is, priests, to teach the people. Paul is committing to writing these instructions, something that Titus, I'm sure, knew in his very depth, in his very bones. But he commits it to writing because he's planted a bishop in this local church, so that the church of Crete knows what Titus's charge is and that they too can grow alongside him. St. Paul also makes the point of all of this moral order of the church springs forth from the sacraments themselves. In this epistle, he is laying out the divine orders of the church, of the royal priesthood of all of the baptized. He gives the specific role of the presbyters and priests. And in this letter to Titus, as the overseer or the bishop, how and whom to ordain in the cities of Crete. And he even touches on how to deal with heresy, how to deal with so-called stupid controversies, to quote St. Paul. But the apostle gave to Crete this whole and complete church simply so that they could grow in Christ. And we come to the passage that we've heard in the epistle that the reader read so well. To apply ourselves to good deeds. It's so important that he mentions it in just a few verses twice. The passage focuses on this Christian teaching of mercy and grace, that the good works flow from God, and these verses teach us that we are to do the same because this is how God has treated us. In other words, when we apply ourselves to good deeds, we become more like Him. The foundation of doing good is a spiritual act, not simply just the level of, I want it like this and it doesn't harm anyone, or, you know, I think it's best, but rather a good deed is defined by how God acts toward us. So, to make that clear, the connection of the sacraments being the foundation of our doing good, let's hear those verses. Titus 3, 4 through 8. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal in the Holy Spirit. Words that indicate baptism and chrismation, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs in the hope of eternal life. Baptism and chrismation, St. Paul is pointing out, and the way that God gives them to us is not because we earned them, but because He wants to give them to us. Baptism and chrismation are our entrance in the Holy Spirit into being a new person. They are the foundation of our eternal life and our ability to be and have an activity of Christ and in Christ. These first sacraments are the foundation of our continual communion with God. They are our way of beginning and continuing to participate and be changed by Him. So then we come to the first line of today's epistle. It begins with these words, Titus, my son, faithful is the saying. That's how we heard it today and how it's written in your bulletin. But this could easily be translated from the Greek to being faithful is the word, which I think is better because it connects St. Paul's prior verses about the foundation of our good deeds being on what Christ does for us. Faithful is the word. As we all know, Christ is the word of God. So to translate it in this way points directly to Jesus as the word, the logos of God. Logos is the word that's used there. And He is faithful to us to work out our salvation for and with us. So Christ is the source of all good works, not just a saying like any other saying that happens to be true, but rather the Word Himself is faithful to us. Faith tied to the Word of God, Jesus Christ, is the connective tissue in the activity of the body of Christ. It allows the body of Christ to move, to act, to do good, to give of Christ Himself to those who are in need. Faith is what Christ is to us and where we must place our trust. And then follows the admonition of St. Paul to Titus to instruct the faithful Christians on what we are to do with the salvific work that Christ is already given. The apostle states, we are to live by being careful to practice good deeds. This is what it means to be acting as the body of Christ. This is our living out of the salvation Christ gained for us and the mercy which we entered into at baptism and at chrismation. In other words, because God saved us through His incarnation, we have the grace to struggle to become virtuous, to make ourselves partakers of this salvific work. It is accomplished, but we also need to live it for it to become real to us and to others. Every Christian should feel this desire and connection to others because of Christ's gift to us. Having become empowered by Jesus Christ's gifts, we enter through the sacraments and living within the divine order that God gives to us in the church. We are admonished again and again. And at the conclusion of the reading, he tells us, "Let our people learn to apply themselves to good deeds so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful." We have, in other words, some marching orders. Whenever we see an urgent need, we should have a desire to help and find a means to apply ourselves to help that person, no matter how small. The good deeds that we accomplish in faith because of what Christ did for us, those build up the church. They bear fruit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we partake of Christ's salvation. We who partake of Christ's salvation need to seek out where we can do these good deeds. Sometimes people struggle with their belief or their faith, that foundation to go forth and do good deeds. Let me offer this bit of pastoral advice as we approach the close of the homily. It's the same advice that the Russian novelist Dostoevsky puts in the mouth of Elder Zosima in his great Russian novel, The Brothers Karamazov. This fictional character is one who is basically a summary, a capstone in fictional form of all of the holy wisdom of the church. And Elder Zosima gives this word of advice to a woman who comes to him who knows that she's lacking faith, but also knows that she needs it. She needs faith in Christ. So this fictional elder tells her this advice, which is one of the best that I've seen, a summation of where do I begin. Elder Zosima tells her, "Try to love your neighbors actively and tirelessly. The more you succeed in loving, the more you'll be convinced of the existence of God and the immortality of your soul." In other words, he's telling her, the more that you try to love those around you with that little kernel of faith, the more it will grow. If you struggle to see God active in the world, you struggle to see Him, you struggle with faith, start attempting to actively love others. Start to go out of your way to be loving to the particular people around you, not just to mankind in general, to all humanity in general. Go do something good for a certain person with a certain name. It will probably start with people you already know, people you're close to. Go and apply yourself to it. Salvation, that is to say, God will be at your doorstep when you do. You will begin to have the characteristic of God Himself, and so be more able to know Him. So often faith begins with making the step. It doesn't have to be a grand step. It could be a small one. But if it's taken in an act of love, God will work miracles and transformation will begin. So let me close with these words from not a fictional character, but from the lips of St. John Chrysostom himself when he looked at this passage. He told his flock way back then, and it's still applicable now, "Wait not for those who are in want to come to you, but take pains, seek out diligently those who need your assistance. For in doing good actions, it is not those who receive the kindness that are benefited." Let me read that again. For in doing good actions, it's not those who receive the kindness that are benefited, so much as those who do it that make gain and profit. For it gives you boldness towards God. Amen.